Thank you, Brother Phipps. Take your Bibles now, and let's turn to the book of Exodus, the second chapter division, Exodus chapter 2. And I want to preach a message, Faith of Amram and Jochebed. Exodus chapter 2. We'll begin reading with verse 1, go all the way through verse 10, so we can know the history of what took place here, and then make the application to our own lives today. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done unto him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, God pinched the baby, and the baby cried. Amen? That's in the original, in case you don't know. And behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now this is a beautiful story about a little baby, a very important baby that grew up to be a very important man. Hebrews 11:23 says, to give us greater clarification on what happened here, that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. How did they do that? By faith. Because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They did it by faith. Now let me ask you a question this morning. What is faith? If somebody walked up to you and said, "Define faith to me, what is faith?" How would you answer? Well, we have a biblical example in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And the Bible teaches us it's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What he's saying there is you reach way out into the future and you pull back to the right now in time, and whatever it is that you're having faith about, it becomes a reality to you right now. Although you hadn't gotten there yet, it's real to you. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. It becomes real to you. Faith makes it real right now. Faith makes you see the results that are going to take place that are good right now. Faith is an essential thing that all of us need. Do you know what faith is? And do you have faith today? Are you practicing a life of faith? It's very important that as a child of God, we practice a life of faith. And I'll quickly say, you cannot practice a life of faith until you have placed your faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. There's no way you can do that. First of all, you have to place your faith in the finished work of Christ to save your soul. But then we are to walk by faith. And this is a story of Amram and Jochebed. Their names are not mentioned here. They're mentioned later. But there was Miriam who was there the first time that word was introduced, and it really is the name Mary. And Aaron was 3. Miriam was 18 years of age. During this time, there was great anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, or a hatred of the Jews, and a desire to destroy the Jews, is always of the devil. Mark it down. It's just a fact of the Word of God. Anybody who is a Jew hater is cooperating with the devil. And so that was anti-Semitism being practiced. And they were being persecuted. You remember that they were under Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph. And now they were being persecuted. They were serving with rigor. We cannot imagine what was going on. They would send them out, make them work 12 hours a day. They'd come back with blistered hands, and they would be worn out, some of the hardest work you can imagine, in the brick kilns and doing all of that hard, hard work. I saw some of the brick kilns over in India and the hard labor and work that those people were involved in every day. And I thought about this. Hard labor, hard work. They were persecuted. And one of the things that the Pharaoh had said, there's too many of these Jews, and so when the babies are born, let's kill them all the male children, because we don't want the male children. Now, we can take care of the little girls, and we can retrain them and all of that, but we don't want these male children. In other words, it was an effort of the devil to get rid of the Jews, and then for Christ to never be born. Now, that was a terrible, tragic thing that took place. But then there were the midwives, and Pharaoh told the midwives, they were the ones that were there when the babies were born, they said, whenever you see in the birth canal and that baby's head is there and you know that it's a male, then you kill that baby. It's very much like the abortionists are doing today. Very much like those who believe in embryonic cell research and all of that. I'm sorry to say that our new president is for that. And that's a very regrettable and unbiblical position to have. And I'd tell him that to his face if I could see him. And I'd tell it to anybody. It's a wrong thing. And that's the same thing they were doing, trying to kill the little babies. You watch, and I don't have time to preach that message, but all the way through the Bible, the devil is always attacking little children. Always, because he hates them. And so it is here that this was taking place. And the midwife said, you know, we've got to make a decision here. Do we obey God or do we obey man? What do you think they chose to do? They chose to obey God. There is a good principle there that when we face government and government tells us to go against our convictions, we say to the government, I can go along with you and I can render to Caesar what is Caesar's until you tell me to do what God said not to do. And then you've crossed the wrong line. You're in bad territory, and we can't do it. I find a little humor here in the midwives, because they were not killing the little babies. And so Pharaoh sent his people there to check on it and said, what's going on? They said, you just wouldn't believe how fast they have these babies. They just popping them out like popcorn, and we don't even have time to decide whether it's a girl or a boy. You know, they were not really telling all that they knew, were they? But the whole emphasis should be upon the fact that they obeyed God. That's where the emphasis should be. And so the midwives will not kill the little male babies. They just wouldn't do it. And so in God's providence, a little baby by the name of Moses was born. Moses, drawn out of the water. And then he was kept by his parents 3 months. 3 months, a little 3-year-old child. A 3-month-old child. And that was as long as mom could keep him. And then she had to do something, because they were going to be found out. If they were found out, then the baby would be killed. They would probably be killed or incarcerated or whatever. And so Amram and Jochebed, and I think Amram was in on the thing too, but Jochebed had the responsibility to take that little baby down to the River Nile and there put that little baby in something that had already been prepared, and put it down in the bulrushes They had daubed that little basket with pitch and slime, and that was the way they made it waterproof in that day. And can you see Jochebed as she puts that little baby, gets ready to put it down in the water, and she kisses that little baby, a little three-month-old baby. You know how much you'd love your little three-month-old baby. And she reaches down and kisses it probably more than one time. Probably kisses its little feet and all over, and puts that baby down in the Nile River and turns with tears in her eyes and walks away and says, I'm trusting God. Amen. I know that God has led us to take care of this baby. Josephus, the great historian, said that Amram had a vision or a dream from God. I don't know that that's true. But they seemed to know this was a goodly child, that God's hand was upon that child. Just like Mary and Joseph knew that God's hand, that it was God that was born to Mary, brought into this world. And so that was what was taking place. But I'm telling you, ladies, wouldn't it take a lot of faith to take your little baby and kiss it, put it in a little basket, put it out in the river? And by the way, there were alligators in that river. It wasn't just the problem of drowning, all of that. And so she did it by faith, and Jochebed did it by faith. I'm just saying to you that we need to live the same kind of life. Our life should be a life of faith and trusting in Almighty God. And sometimes God is going to lead against natural affections. Hear what I'm saying now. Sometimes God is going to lead against that which is sort of the natural thing to do, the normal thing to do, against natural affections. I guarantee you, the natural affections of Jochebed was to take that baby back home. But God had told them to put that baby in the Nile. And God had let them know that there was a purpose. And so they were following what God wanted them to do. Now, there are a lot of applications we could make to our life, but let me just make some very practical as we're talking about faith. Why do a lot of Christians not tell other people about Jesus Christ and be soul winners? Why? Why do we not speak up? One of the reasons is we just don't have faith in what God has said. God has told us if we go about bearing precious seed, if we give out the gospel, and we trust Him that eventually there are going to be people saved and they're going to come into the kingdom. We should learn to witness for God by faith. Now don't get quiet on me. You know I'm telling you the truth. All right? By witnessing, by faith. Then sometimes God leads us to do things that we, you know, it just seems like, well, I just don't see how I can see that. It goes sort of against natural things. One of them would be to give your tithe to the Lord. Amen? Now it really will get quiet. We need to live by faith. Do you know that there are some people whose God is so teeny and so little in their mind? Oh, they talk about God and they say they know God. But He is so little that they cannot trust Him by giving 10% of their income and saying, that's what God said, therefore, I'm going to trust God. And I can tell you that I've never had to apologize in 42 years of ministry to anybody that I taught that. If you'll put God first in your tithes and offerings, God will meet your need. I'm not saying you won't ever have a little trial every once in a while. Sometimes we need that testing, and we need to check our motive. But I'm telling you, we need to learn to witness by faith. And we need to learn to give by faith. And I do believe this. Sometimes God will lay it upon people's heart, and God will, through the Holy Spirit, say, there's a great need. Now you are able to meet that need, or I've laid it on your heart, so you give. And they say, I just can't quite see that emotionally. And they don't have the kind of faith that would say, well, if God said do it, I just need to get out there and do it for the glory of God. We do it by faith. Starting a church by faith. Some of you young guys here that are going to be preachers, that already preach, your young preacher boys, one of these days, maybe God's going to lead you to go out and start a church. And that's a great thing to do. And you're going to say, well, man, I don't know. How can I do that? What's going to happen? Will I be guaranteed that I'll have an income someday and all of that? Or will people come and hear me preach? Look, if God has called you to preach and God lays it on your heart to go start a church, listen to me, get out there and do it. Do it by faith, and God will honor that. Or taking a church, you have to do that by faith too. Some of you need to realize that and to be prepared for that if God calls you. I had to take my first church by faith. I'd never pastored. I didn't know what it was going to be like. And we had to leave a secure job and a comfortable job in a church and go out and take a church. How did I do that? I did it by believing God said go and trusting Him. It wasn't easy, but God took care of it and God blessed it. I'm just illustrating for you that God does that. Now, I say all that to say this. If God calls you, listen to me now. If God calls you into full-time service and you get all of these doubts and I wonder what will happen and all of this, forget all of that stuff. Just step out by faith. If God calls you to be a missionary, God will provide your need and God will take care of you wherever He leads you in whatever country it may be. Step out by faith. If God calls you to be an evangelist, step out by faith. If God calls you to serve Him as a pastor, step out by faith. Full-time service. Don't question all of that. Just depend on God. When God called me to preach, I'm thinking, God, you made a mistake. I heard you were perfect, and I heard you never made mistakes. But if you're calling this little country boy from the background I have, and if you knew where I was called to preach, some of you do, you'd know even more so why I thought, Lord, are you sure about this thing? But God called me to preach, and I surrendered to preach. And here I am, such as I am, and at least some of you are still coming to hear me preach because God called me to preach. And I stepped out by faith. Believe me, I stepped out by faith. My wife and I were talking. I was talking to her about this message earlier. And I said, give me some illustrations of some of the times in your life where you really had to use faith and practice and you were really tested. She said, well, one of the youngest times was whenever I surrendered my life to go to Bible college and to serve the Lord full time. And God led me all the way to Texas. That was 1,200 miles from her home, from her mom and dad, with no promise of a job, no job, a long ways from home, 18 years of age, a single person, and I had to step out by faith and go. And see, if she hadn't, she'd have never met me. Maybe she wishes she'd gone to another school by now, I don't know. But by faith, she stepped out, and God took care of her. Amen. That I'm just telling you, we've got to live by faith. There are many in the Bible. I don't have time to go through all of them, but Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees. How? God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your native land, your homeland, and I want you to go to a land that you've never seen before. You've never been there. And I want you to go down there, and I'm going to, through you, establish a race of people called the Jews, and I just want you to trust me. Can you imagine? I can imagine Abraham scratched his head a few times, if he had hair or whatever, and said, you know, man, that's a pretty big task. But he knew God had told him to do it, and he said, all right, God, if that's what you've told me to do, then I'm going to do it. And I'm glad he did, aren't you? Because we have the Jewish race, we have a Savior that came out of the Jewish race, we have a Redeemer because Abraham obeyed God. Noah, I think about old Noah. God said, all right, Noah, I got a task for you. I got a job for you. Oh, you do? Well, what is that, God? I want you to build this big boat. And I can hear Noah saying, what in the world is a boat, God? Did you know it never rained? The earth was watered by the mist and so on and so forth. It never had rain. Can you imagine? God said to Noah, I want you to go build a big ark, a big boat. And then I, not only that, it's going to rain. Well, what's rain, God? Well, it's just, you know, like this wet stuff here, but it's going to come out of the sky, and it's going to rise up and up and up, and the boat's going to, God, are you sure that boat will float? You know, and then before you get out there, I want you to put all the animals in the ark, two by two, one of each kind, and so on and so forth, and put it in the ark, and then we're going to preserve them, and I'm going to take you through a great universal flood, and you're going to land somewhere later on and replenish the earth. You think that took some faith on Noah's part? I think it took a lot of faith on Noah's part just to take a skunk in the ark. But at any rate, then there was David and Goliath. Can you imagine old David looking at Goliath? What in the world? Yet he knew that God was able, didn't he? And he had faith, and he said, it's about time somebody shut that secular humanist up. Some of you got it. It's about time that somebody stood up to the big giant called liberalism and said something, and just take a rock and swing it and hit him right in the forehead and watch him go down. David, I believe, did that by faith. If it had been me, I might have taken off like his brothers and ran from the deal. But here was Jochebed and Amram. And the government told them not to do that, and so on and so forth, and all of those things. And they said, look, we got to do what God tells us to do. And so by faith, they did it. Not only that, faith will cause you to act against what would be just your normal natural affections, but it is not hindered by circumstances. Faith is not hindered by circumstances. If you really have faith, the circumstances aren't going to be the problem. Again, Abraham knew that there were going to be some problems on the way to that land. He knew there would be some problems, but he said, God called me to go, so I'm not going to worry about the problems. I'm going to let God take care of it. And Noah knew about all of that, the logistics of it, and all of that was going to be tough. How are you going to put those animals in there? What are you going to feed them? How am I going to feed them? Are they going to go into a swoon? Is that what's going to happen? What's going to take place? I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but it'll be done. Every situation, that was the way it was. There were going to be problems. But they said, look, we know God said do it, and we're not going to worry about the alligators. We're not going to worry about the water. We're not going to worry about all of those things. We're going to trust God. And I know there's some bad circumstances out there, but I'm just not going to worry about it. And then here's another thing faith does. It believes in the providence of God. Faith believes that God, Almighty God, is in charge and is over everything and is absolutely in control of all things. You see, God had a purpose in doing this. God had a purpose in leading Jochebed and Amram to do this with that little baby. God had a purpose in all of that. And what was that? That was to give them a redeemer later on. Somebody to take them out of the land. And that was a tough deal for them. Have you ever noticed that when everything is going well, we say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, I got a raise, praise the Lord, I'm healthy, praise the Lord, I've got money in the bank, praise the Lord, I didn't have a flat, praise the Lord, he got us out of that, praise the Lord, all of this is good, this is good, this is good. But the first time trouble comes, we say, now what's God up to? What are you doing to me, God? Why did you let that happen to me? First of all, God doesn't have to answer any of our questions. He's God. He's sovereign. He can do anything he wants to with me or mine. God has the right to do that just like he did in Job's life. Amen. But when everything is going well, we say, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But when tragedy comes or trouble comes, our commitment level sometimes, not always, but a lot of times goes way down in our lives, and you can be sure that God is tested to the utmost when those times come. When there's a financial reversal, when there's a death of a loved one, when there's a health report you didn't want to get, when there are problems and problems and problems. But you see, we have to still, through all of that, no matter what, believe in the love and mercy of God and believe that God is in charge. and that God knows what he's doing and why he's doing it and why he allows it. In Romans 8:28 is still true. We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purposes. You've got to be saved and love the Lord for it to work out. But if you love the Lord, whatever comes in my life or your life, somehow, some way, God wants to use that for his glory, because God is the controller of all things. And in this case, he was providing a redeemer, a little baby put in the little basket in the bulrushes there in the Nile River. And they very well knew that Pharaoh's daughter came down there to worship a false god. And the cleansing, she had plenty of places to take a bath back in the palace. But she was coming down there because they worshiped the Nile, and they believed the Nile had healing power and all of that, and they knew where she was going to come. But by faith, they put that baby right there. Old Job went through trials like you and I will never probably know. And sometimes I think we think, well, he was just a fictitious character. No, he was a real person with real feelings, just like you and I. How would you like it if your whole family was wiped out? How would you like it if all of your wealth is wiped out? You better get ready. It might be happening. You know, I'm going to pastor this church. So I'm 100. I got to. I can't retire now. So you just stuck with me unless you pray things up differently. But anyway, that's going to happen. But how would you like it? In all seriousness, think if somebody walked in and say, I've got to tell you something. I hate to tell you this. Believe me, I've been there when state troopers and other people walked to the home and military people to tell them that just one was dead, let alone to go say, you've lost everything. You've lost all of your children, have been killed. You've lost all of your wealth. And not only that, I got news for you. You're sick, and you're going to have boils on your body, and you're going to be wanting to die, and you can't even die. And all of that. But old Job went right on through it. And though he made some arguments about he didn't understand, but he still had faith in God. And at the end, he summarized it by saying, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But he said, but now my eye seeth thee. He said, I just heard about it before, but now I've seen it. And God gave him double blessings, didn't he? He didn't give him two wives, but he gave him another good one. But he had children. He gave him as many children. He had some in heaven. And he's going to see them again, as I mentioned in a recent message. But I'm just saying, God's in charge. And here's another point very quickly. Faith is always rewarded. God always rewards faith. He always does. Tell me something. Did Moses live? Yes, he did. I love this story. It just shows you how God's in charge of everything. And so, when it took place, he returned the little baby to Jochebed. Can you imagine that? What are the odds of Pharaoh's daughter saying to Miriam, well, yeah, go ahead and take this little baby. By the way, I think they'd done a lot of planning. And anyway, said, take the little baby to the mother and let the mother raise him until he becomes old enough to come to the kingdom. And by the way, we'll just let the devil pay for it. Amen. Just let Pharaoh pay for it. Now, you can't beat a deal like that. That's a good deal. Take the baby to its mother and tell me what years are the most important years. The formative years. And I have an idea that Jochebed really taught Moses a lot during those days. And just let Pharaoh pay for the whole blooming thing. I think that's great. I think that's so humorous. That's the way God does. And Satan was foiled again. Faith always messes up Satan's plans. Faith always messes up what he wanted to do to you. If you have faith, you can overcome his terrible plan and plot to mess your life up and your spirituality. Faith is always rewarded by God. Very quickly, let me just tell you, this whole story is a picture of salvation. How to be saved. The whole deal of the baby in the ark. Moses was where? In the place of death. Had he not been in that ark, he would have died. He was at the place of death. And the Bible says the wages of sin is what? death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so there he is, down as it were in death. That represents the law. That represents the penalty. If you're not saved, you're going to die. And death is separation, separation from the body, separation eternally from Almighty God. It's called the second death, being separated from God. Moses, where is he? He's in death, but he's in an ark. And the ark is a beautiful, clear type of Jesus Christ. Two times this Hebrew word is used. One is talking about Noah's ark, and the other is talking about this one. The same Hebrew word. And it has to do with redemption. Noah's Ark is one of the most beautiful pictures of salvation by grace through Christ of anything in the Bible. And so is this. Moses in the place of death. Moses secure in the Ark. And a type of being safe in Jesus Christ. The Ark is a type of Christ. And he went down in death for us. I'm glad he did, aren't you? 1 Peter 3:15. The just died for the unjust. Thank God Jesus went down in death for us. And then faith is what placed Moses there. And it's faith that'll place you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to get to heaven apart from faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot be saved. We have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And by faith, we believe. Faith identifies us with Jesus Christ. How are you saved, preacher? I was saved by faith. Amen. In the finished word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saved by faith. Moses didn't stay down in there. He was brought out of the place of death. Christ was brought out of the place of death. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's what we have to believe in order to go to heaven. We arose in Christ, Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank God. We died with him and we arose with Jesus Christ. And then Moses was protected. God took care of him, did he not? And once we get saved, thank God we are eternally secure and protected and watched over by Almighty God. That's why I'm going to heaven someday. Not because I deserve it or I'm good, but because I am secure in Jesus Christ. And he has prepared that place for me. Moses was saved and kept and watched over. And where did he wind up? He wound up in the royal palace. And I'm going to wind up in heaven. That's a good old southern term for where you're going to go and so forth. I'm going to wind up. I'm going to arrive. I'm going to get there. I'm going to be there someday. I'm going to be in heaven. Thank God for his marvelous grace. His marvelous grace. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Now I want to ask you something while our heads are bowed. Christian, saved person, are you living by faith? Or are you allowing your emotions, your circumstances, and other things to control you? Are you living by faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is taking God at his word. Are you living by faith? Are you sure? Do you know what faith is? And are we living by faith? There are some things today, dear friend, things you don't understand, troubles, problems, finances, health, other things that are in your life you don't quite understand. You need to come today, get down on your knees somewhere up front here at this altar if you can, and just turn all of it over to God by faith and just say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand why that happened. I don't understand why this has happened. I don't understand what we're going through. I don't understand, God. I'm just human. I just don't understand. But today, by faith, I'm going to come and commit it to you or recommit it to you, whatever the case may be. And then if you're here without Christ, you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die. Are you sure of that, by the way? Are you going to heaven when you die? If you're not sure of that, today, by faith, trust what Jesus said. What did he say? He said, if you believe that you're a sinner and I died for you and paid your sin debt, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, no doubt about it, be saved. How do you do that? Same way I did it when I was a 9-year-old boy at a little country church, Antioch Baptist Church in northeast Louisiana. You trust Christ. You believe what God said. And he said that he gave his son for you, that you could go to heaven if you just trust him. Let's stand, please. Father, bless now, I pray, in this invitation. Have your will and way in it. Lord, I pray that we as your children might lay disappointments and problems and difficulties and things we understand, things we don't understand. We may step out by faith, serve you by faith, give by faith, live by faith, walk by faith, turn things over to you, things that are too big for us, by faith. I pray we'd do that today. Help those that are unsaved, you know who they are, God, that they would, by faith, trust Christ and be gloriously saved today. In Jesus' name we pray.